welcome to another edition of the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I am your host, Dougie Almeida, from the new studios, Tada Production Studios in Simpsonville, South Carolina. Here we are. And I'm happy to have our first show back after a couple days with our special guests, Mr. Reverend Bob Levy.
Hey, I'm just checking out the new studio. I love it.
Like it?
I love what you did to it. I love it. Oh.
And fellow Florida comedian and men of men, Lou Angelwolf.
Hey, how are you?
There you go. And welcome, gentlemen. I thought this would be a bit of a man show.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of any more manly men than us three.
There is that thick line, you know? It's like you get to the manly man part, then you're like, oh, you're a little too manly.
Yeah, you have a dress on. That's a little too manly.
Yeah, your narcissism will soon overtake you.
In the bedroom.
That's it. All by yourself.
Well, obviously, I've known Bob's a longtime friend, and Lou, we met one time. You got to come down to do the Tavolino show.
Yes, that was fun.
And Bob, we've known each other. So the last time I saw you, Bob, I think when I was in Jersey with you, right?
Yeah, we stayed over for a few days. You left your toothbrush. I didn't want to mail it to you. So I basically just threw it out about a week ago. I couldn't take looking at it in that container anymore. Every time I open a thing, I see it there. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to hand out $17 so you get a little electrical one. Because I'm not looking at this anymore. And I threw it out. I'm sorry. I had to tell you.
I'm so glad that you were able to keep my toothbrush. I left there about 4 or 5 years ago all this time. Like, people come to Bob Levy's house, like, okay, one is yours, one's your wife's, one's yours. Who's this other toothbrush you got here?
But it was in a case, so it looked like it might have been a gift. So I didn't want to throw it out, you know what I mean? It might have been like a Father's Day gift. So I'm like, if I throw it out, and then I'm looking, I'm like, you know, he hasn't called and said anything about it. And I was like, the other day, I just like looked at it, and I went, ah, and I threw it out.
Well,
spit on it. Yeah.
I think I've been through about 5 other toothbrushes since. but I appreciate it.
Hey, Bob, where are you in Jersey?
I'm in Deptford, New Jersey. I love it out here. I'm like a model.
What town?
Deptford. It's near Woodbury. I'm not too far from Philly.
Oh, okay, cool. Because I'm from Tom's River 100 years ago.
So. Oh, I love it, man. See, I love beaches. You know what I mean? That's why I'm coming to Florida. I'm going to tan my balls on the beach. And then when they say something, I go, I'm old. Shut up.
So Bob's going to wear clothing all throughout his body, except his nuts are going to hang out.
It is very healthful for your perineum to be sunned.
It is.
Very, very helpful.
Yes, I mean,
it contributes to health. It's and a very fun position to assume.
Yeah, and my dick looks great with a tan, I must say.
I mean, what doesn't look good with a tan? No.
It's true. You need a fucking tan. You're in South Carolina. You got nothing to do there. The neighbors are dragging you around like you're a homeless guy that just did something nice on the block, saved somebody's cat from a tree. They're bringing you around. Doug's taking videos. Look, it's me and my new neighbors, and they're just looking at him going, I hope they move. Oh, my God. You're putting them all over Facebook. They don't want that. They don't want this rock star lifestyle coming next to them.
They love it. They love it. The first week I was here, the Comedy Zone was nice enough to put me in the Greenville Comedy Zone for the first weekend. And about 12 or 15 of my neighbors all came out to the show.
Wow.
Which, you know, but by Murphy's Law, that show ended up being the worst show out of the three all weekend. It was a horrible crowd. You know what I mean? And I felt like, oh, my God, my neighbors are going to think I'm just horrible and just a horrible comic.
Nah, they're going to probably just lie to you.
But listen,
if they're good neighbors, they will. If
they are good neighbors, because I'm here to tell you that the second day we were here, one of our neighbors had brought us a key lime pie. You don't. That never happened in Florida. No one ever. None of my neighbors ever brought me anything when I moved in.
Hey, when you looked under the plate, was there a joke book there? They're trying to say, hey, you weren't that funny the other night.
Funny.
No, but there was a noose that I can hang myself with.
You don't have a neck. You can't die. Sorry.
I can't be hung or hanged.
You know, but sometimes you think you really croaked, but they still loved it. You know what I mean? It's, you know, I mean, unless it was ugly.
Yeah.
Well, it was just one of those things, you know, and, you know, it started off as slow.
I don't know. Job. Go ahead. Yeah. I don't know. I've never heard this happen to somebody. Really, this never happened to me. Go on about this. You died? What happened?
No, I actually had a good time. I didn't bomb. It was just one of those crowds that you had. It was like trying to mow the lawn with an old lawnmower. You know, you had to keep starting it up and keep working for it.
I don't know. I have a landscaper, Doug. It's not making any sense to me. You say you suffered on stage, you're trying to say.
Yeah, I ate a dick. That's it.
After he goes, good night, I'm Doug Almeida. Nom, 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 nom,
gobble,
nom,
gobble,
nom.
Gobble, gobble. When's the last time you were on stage, Bob?
Hey, man, I just got off stage. What's today? Tuesday? The other night. Monday. Okay. Friday or Thursday, Saturday. I'm doing like 18 podcasts now, dude. So I don't have time to not do stuff.
Yeah. How about you? How about you, Lou?
I'm working pretty regular. You know, I do the country clubs, the golf and tennis and over 55s and
nice.
They keep me relatively busy, and I'm a local guy here, so I'm on call, you know. I'm getting on stage enough.
Nice. Yeah, I can't wait to hang out with my new friend there. Doug moves away from us. I don't get it. You want to do something cool, you stay there because I'm coming down, and now you run to Greenville and you bomb in front of neighbors. Oh.
I know. It's what a decision, right?
You know, a lot of people sabotage their careers, and it's not unusual.
I know. While everybody's leaving for, you know, big cities like Austin and comedy, and they're going, where's Dougie go? Greenville, South Carolina.
It's a nice town, though. It really is.
It is. If you like porn, that's actually Green Acres at the theaters. That's what they show.
I don't have a bed to sleep on, but we got this nice haystack.
There you go.
Hey, it's all about timing, Doug, and you did it at a perfect time. You know, things were starting to get hot, and you're like, I got to get out of here.
Florida's turning into the comedy capital of the world, and it's time for me to leave.
Well, it looks like I did my job. I'm off to another place. Yeah, well, come on.
Well, you know what, though? I don't think it gets mentioned often enough. I mean, Florida has really generated, I mean, really great comedians. I mean, the list is pretty long. You know, Brian Regan, you got Gallagher, you got Carrot Top, you got Larry the Cable Guy.
You're talking about great comics, right?
Great, yeah.
Hey, Larry's great. Larry follows me on Twitter, and we talk. I don't know if he knows who I am, but he must, because he's following me. Why would he follow me? But I want to get him on one of my shows. I like the way he is. I want to know him as a person in any interview, because he sounds like a smart guy.
He's a fabulous guy. Yeah. Jimmy Brewer. I brought Jim Brewer on stage his very first time. At Ron Bennington's comedy scene in Clearwater. And
Tom
he did
Rhodes.
Great.
Tom Rhodes, Florida
Tom comedy. Rhodes from, my best buddy from Oviedo. And, I mean, the list is very, very long. There's a lot of guys. And Alan Proffitt and all those Southern, Al Romero, Al Romas.
I don't know about that.
And a comic we just recently lost, Eric Myers, was a great comic.
Oh, man, that guy was a beast. I worked with him one weekend, and I was like, dude, I don't have a problem following anybody. I go, you're impossible. And I was like, you should be headlining. And he was just kind of new. I go, dude, I've never seen anybody that has a character down like you have. And to finish out the shows with him knowing I had to be totally on the top of my game, and I've never felt like that before.
Wow.
It was amazing and scary at the same time, because I was rooting for him too, because he was a nice guy.
Yeah. Other Florida comics recently, Preacher Lawson, you know, actually made it big. Out of Florida. Lando Leyba, a new comic, came out of Miami. He's doing really well with HBO and Latin comedy and stuff. So it's a great, but not everybody, you're not going to get famous in Florida.
Don't like that.
You can work your whole life. How about that? What's that worth?
It doesn't matter. I didn't get famous in New York or in Jersey, so who gives a shit? I might as well have nice weather and not make it.
It's, you know, it's literally so much of it is just luck. If it, you know, if the magic wand lands on you, if you're making the right effort at the right time, if the right people see you and they can make a dollar on you, it all, so much shit has to line up. But always remember, you perhaps maybe have not yet done your best work. So maybe the universe is waiting for you to handle the big enchilada.
I understand. You know what? This guy makes so much sense. This is the way you have to look at life. In general, you have to. You have to look at it like this. Otherwise, you don't move forward as a human, and you just fail. And nobody wants to be around you at anything in your life. Truthfully.
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, everybody has their own path, they say, right? Everybody's in their own lane. And
you've got your own path. You've got a plethora of decisions to make every day about what it is that you do. But when, you know, when you're okay with everything, you've got right now. That's what you got right now, buddy. Mm-hmm. We might make it to the end of the show. We might not.
Maybe not.
But we got right now. So in your right nows every day, you have to make conscious decisions about what it is that you're spending your time doing. Mm-hmm. And being grateful and thankful and going, man, like the hippies say, this or something better.
This
or something. It's one of my favorite expressions. This or something better. And it just keep moving on, man. Just, you know, you can't let your paws get all muddy. And you know, everybody has a pity party every once in a while, even myself. But for the most part, you just got to shake it off. Keep moving, man. Shake it off, you know, because you can sit there in the shit pile for a long time. And I've just seen it eat so many guys. And it just thinks, Steve Baird was one of my best buddies and the best sad sack comic. He was just a fabulous guy and truly funny. But the trouble, he didn't have enough sunshine, you know?
Yeah. So. Well, that's what it is. If you're stuck in a pile of shit, the only person that is going to pull you out of it is you.
That's right.
Know what I mean? So that's the main thing. It's whatever's going on in your life, use that and say, look, I don't expect nobody's going to come and help me. It's up to me. And then people help you when they see you try.
You create a helpable character.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're putting out vibrations that you're like, okay, I could use a little advice over here. I could use some information over here. And when the student is ready, the teacher arrives. So the universe puts people into your life to tell you things, to share things with you, to help you along your path. And as you count those all as blessings, pretty soon you have a blessing-filled day. Yeah. And you accept what is now is good. And tomorrow could be even better. So when people go, oh, you never made it, Angel Wolf. You never made it big. Well, I made it swell up.
So. It was very veiny. I'll send you that. That's fucking gold. I love this guy. This guy can teach people how to live, how to be better. I'm telling you, there's no doubt in my mind.
Thank you.
I think that's a great point, actually. When it comes to that, you know, I don't know how I gotta get rid of the sound here.
That's okay. I like it.
You like it?
I feel like I'm on a game show. I'll take Latin boars for $500.
I'll give you $50 for a hard-boiled egg.
That was the best thing. Anybody got it? If you have a coat hanger for abortions, $100 right now.
A pimp stick.
Hey, speaking of abortions, let's get into some of our topics. The first topic of the day was fuck Fauci. I mean, how do you guys feel about Fauci? This guy,
I wouldn't fuck him. You know what I mean? I'd let him blow me, but I really wouldn't fuck him. I mean, that would be kind of gay and, it's against the science. You know what I mean? For me,
it's,
I'm not gay.
Yeah. I don't know. I've known the guy was a schmooze from the moment I saw him. which was many years ago. He's been around that loop a very, very long time. And, you know, he's in the game. He's part of the thing. He's a mouthpiece with, you know, with an address after his name. Yeah. So, and they got all the self, you know, all the self-acclaiming accoladers have self-acclaimedly accoladed him. You know, yeah. All of his prize and grandeur is from the same camp, you know. So, whether the guy's telling us the truth, whether he's full of shit, I mean, there's just too many overlapping stories. I can, yeah. You know, I can tell when things aren't quite smooth, yeah. And all this, that the choppiness and information. So yeah, I'm going to vote bullshit artist, and whatever happens to him, you know, that's his path.
Yeah. I hear you. And, I mean, so you guys don't believe the bat story. You guys are believer that it was released by the Chinese government?
Yeah, I believe that for sure, because of the fact they go against their own people. Okay. They say, why would they go against their own people? Here's the thing. They've been doing that for years. This is nothing new. Okay. To have a great country fall financially to them because we were taking over everything. Is it worth it to them? Yes, the way that they think. So to do something like this, to release it, to make sure that the election, and I'm not one of those people that think conspiracy stuff. I'm just saying, don't make believe that you don't think people would do really evil stuff to each other. Okay? Yeah. A lot of people died, and you're going to, one day you'll find out that they were killed, and you're going to be shocked.
Yeah. Well, this has been China's thing throughout centuries. What to reduce population to perpetuate the republic at any cost. Mm-hmm. There's a wild mindset behind that whole thing, and they've it really is an incredible energy that their thought directive is frightening. And probably as racist as anything that you could imagine. It's like anybody that's not us sucks, and even some of us suck. So it's a brutal game they play, and life has different values there. You know, we Americans have been so self-endorsed. Even if you were neglected, you were still self-endorsed all through school and whatever. There were things that you could grab to build your self-esteem. They were available to you, should you. But there, man, just the whole human experience of them is so animal-like in certain places.
Training.
Tom Rhodes, we mentioned before, he told me in China, he took a four-hour bus ride down mud and partially paved roads past slums, tar paper shacks, cardboard houses, people living in lean-tos for 4 hours. That was the scenery for 4 hours.
Yeah.
He didn't break into freaking, you know, Deerfield Estates and everything's all night. No, it was 4 hours of tragic life.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they don't see what I'm saying. Their value on life is so much different than ours.
Yeah, it's a complete different. It's an opposite story.
Because they don't count. Those people, okay, those people are the failures of what a person from China is supposed to be. You know what I mean? Because they're supposed to be powerful. They're supposed to be able to make money. You know what I mean? Do something. And to them, they're just like, they would kill them in a second because they're useless to them.
Well, yeah. to the Chinese philosophy, it's different than here. Like Lou is saying, everybody here is like, we're special. You know, we're the unique aspect. We're the bold that's going to shine. But in China, it's different. Everybody's a cog. You know, everybody's, you know, you're all there for the purpose of the government, you know, and the way of the Chinese way. You know, you're not nothing special. You're just like everybody else. You know, look what they did to Jack Ma from Alibaba. You know, the minute he started talking about China, you know, hey, you know, this is, we got to figure some things out. And, you know, all of a sudden he disappeared for a while, you know?
Yeah. Has he come back?
They have him making some appearances over there in Alibaba, you know, and, you know, when that stock went public, you know, his name was Jack Ma, but then when it went public, he changed his name to Jack Pot. But yeah, you don't see him anymore. You know, I think he's running a Starbucks now or somewhere. I'm glad we agree with that. This is a bit of a man show, like I mentioned. We got two real men guests here that would never be, questioned their masculinity. So I have to ask you guys, especially Lou first, since you are a car guy. There's a car guy. What's your favorite car?
My favorite car. Well, depending upon application, something to drive every day. I mean, it's not what I own, but I love the versatility of like a GMC Yukon or a Chevy Tahoe. They for as big as they are, and they just can do everything. Generally, right. They can tow a trailer, they can tow a boat, they got room for six people. They're a V8, they got four wheel drive, they got leather, they got sunroof, they do all the things. Now you pay, they only get 15 miles at a gallon. And so there's that. Actually, some of them get 17, but whatever. If you're worried about a few miles to the gallon, then that's not the car for you. You can get something with a better, something that'll do mostly all those same things. Toyota Highlander is a nice piece. Not the Highlander, the Pathfinder.
Nissan Pathfinder.
Nissan Pathfinder. Well, no, the Toyota
Land Cruiser.
Which one?
Land Cruiser, the RAV4.
No, the RAV4 is the little one.
Yeah, you talk about the...
The Land Cruiser is the big one.
Yeah, you talk about the 4Runner.
4Runner, there you go. That vehicle right there holds its value like a monster. I got a buddy of mine that bought a 2019, drove it 16,000 miles, traded it back in, got more than he paid for it.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's just they're a safe buy, and
That's how we felt about the Jeep. I just bought my wife a 2018 Jeep, four door Sahara, the Wrangler.
Oh yeah,
and those hold their value pretty well. And now I have to buy a new car, and I'm looking at the Acura TLX, like a sports car kind of thing.
That's a nice car, buddy. You'll enjoy that.
Yeah. Winding through the roads.
That's a ripper, boy.
Yeah, how about you, Bob? What's your favorite vehicle?
Okay, my plan when I move to my Florida estate is that I'm going to get a nice big truck that holds like four or six people. That's way up, above people. So if you hit anybody, you get all blood on the tire, keep going or whatever. But to enjoy time off, I think I'm going to get a Firebird or a Vet, just for fun, just to go out and say, hey, I'm going to take you for this, and I'm going to tag you in the ass when we get home.
I don't know how safe it would be for Bob Levy to be in a Corvette.
Wow.
I've seen so many people spin a Corvette out because that car has so much torque in the back, right? And everybody just doesn't know, and they spin it almost as bad as a Ford Mustang.
Yeah, but I only drive like 45, so this ain't going to happen. Dude, I'm getting old. I just want it to go slow enough so everybody can see it and go, that guy must have the biggest cock in the world, because I seen him in a truck the other day, too. So that's all I'm looking forward to.
Bob wants a car that's is labeled a dick extender.
Exactly. No, I already have a huge one. I want it bigger. I want my dick to block traffic. That's what I want. I want a car that's that fast and that unsafe.
All right. That being said, what is your best car story? Like, in other words, both you guys, like, you go first if you want. Like the best story that you have in your past or something that you remember that involves a car.
I got a good one. I got two. Can I put them together?
Why don't you give us one, then Lou will give us one, then you can give us your other one.
Okay. We were at the bar. I got this, Cutlass Supreme hand-me-down from the family. This hot blonde girl there. I'm like, this is the time. I got to get this, I get her in the car. We're making out. Boom, boom, boom. I get her pants up. I'm down there. Blah, 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 blah. The next thing, I'm banging away. Blah, 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 blah. I get out. I'm like feel like, God, I got a license, I got a car, I just got a girl. Okay, I walk into the bar and my friends are like, what happened to you? Who did that to you? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And they're like, who beat the shit out of you? They thought I got beat up. I had blood all over my face, my white guinea t-shirt. She was on a period. I had no idea. And I was new at this. It was maybe like my fourth one. I didn't know if it was supposed to taste like muddy oil with gold in it. I had blood all over me, but stories like that make you think about cars. Thank you.
That's why they used to call Bob the Impaler.
Yes, that's true.
Boy, is my car story boring.
I can't follow that.
I am a car guy. I was born into it. My dad had a used car lot in 1966 down there in Toms River, New Jersey on Route 9. And that was our bonding thing. The old man and I, we'd drive around and he would teach me what year and make cars were by taillights and trim and hubcaps and body shapes and all that stuff. So I'm even kind of like an idiot savant when it comes to, Lou, what kind of car is that? Oh, that's a 52 DeSoto. You know, I mean, I know off the top of my head because it was like a game I played with my dad when I was little.
Yeah.
And then I got to be, I've been in the car business on and off my whole life. And then I got to be a stand-up comic in the late 80s, early 90s, and mid 90s. And I toured all the way from like 88 to 98. I was on the road real regularly. And I had this car. I bought this Ford Escort diesel station wagon. It was a little stick shift that had an Isuzu diesel in it from the factory, from Ford. Really rare old car. So anyway, when it was in really nice shape, and I had this really great Elvis graphic, and then it said diesel down there on the fender. So this car was Elvis diesel. And it got 44 miles to the gallon. And I remember times like rolling through the Wisconsin Dells on my way to a gig. I just did this sweet ass country club thing, made like $1,500, you know, hung out, did whatever I did. And then the next day there's like, you know, all this breeze blowing through my car, and I've got this car that's getting 44 miles to the gallon, and I'm going, is this my life? Is this, thank you, car. Thank you, freedom. Thank you, America. It was really amazing. And the car, just the car trips, man. I've had some really, really great cars. So
nice. I'll tell you a real quick one before Bob sends his last one. I actually have two of them. Actually, one of them, I went to Flagler College in St. Augustine.
What? Does that have an L in it? Or not?
I went to Flagler College, where I learned how to blow guys.
And I'm still using it to this day.
I'm still using that diploma.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Who said I didn't apply my diploma?
That's right. Because you don't learn anything in college.
But I've been working my head to the bone ever since I graduated.
So back then, you could drive on the beach. And you know, my freshman year in college, I really doubled up the number of females I had been with. That was a good thing. And I remember being on the beach and it went from one to two. if three, if you count the blow up doll, but I am.
If you count the shadow.
If you count my imaginary friend, I am. I remember being on the beach and there was this one girl that I started messing with, and she was like, everybody thought she was like a Christian girl. You're like, oh, she ain't going to do nothing. She's like really like a Bible thumper. Like, all right, well, she's going to be thumping my Bible. And on St. Augustine Beach, we ended up driving out there, making out and drinking some coolers, you know, wine coolers, that kind of thing. Okay. And then and next thing you know, I'm getting a smoke 'em slow in the front seat.
Wow. You know?
So I'm thinking, this is great. And this is back in the day where I can last more than a couple minutes. So I put the seat back down and everything, and she's going to town. It was just, she loved it. She was like, this is the greatest, like, this is like a Jerry Lewis telephone oral session. You know, like, she didn't want to quit. And I thought, wow, this is great. Then the next thing you know, I'm like, I'm looking, I put the seat up a little bit and I look, and I'm about 2 feet in seawater.
Oh my God.
Wow.
The tide had come up to the car and I started hearing like the waves hitting the side of the fucking door.
Oh my.
Yeah.
You probably got confused and just when you smelled, you're like, what's that smell? Oh, I thought it was you, honey. It was the water, yeah. Seawater coming up.
I said, hey, do you mind easing on the slobbering a little bit? It's getting too moist in here. You got an ocean in your mouth, baby. And
there's a jellyfish.
So what happened? Were you able to get out of there?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was funny because I turned the car on right away and I was actually to back out a little bit. So I pulled it out. Then it kind of got stuck in the softer. I don't know what happened. It kind of stuck. So then the guy came, literally, the tow truck came and pulled me out. It didn't go up.
What? He pulled your dick out of her mouth?
Yeah.
What?
The car came out easy, but my dick came out a lot harder out of her mouth.
You had to get a tow truck driver. Yeah. You must have been fucking thirsty.
There are some of those beaches over there. Their rules are very strict.
Yeah. Yeah, we didn't have any problem getting your car out, but you can't get your dick out of that girl's mouth yet.
Honey, can you get my wallet while you're down there so I can fucking pay this tow truck driver?
I dropped my keys. That's fucking great. So Bob, did you have something else besides your
that was disgusting, that one. Okay. I had this other girl in the car one time, right? All of a sudden, my mother would use the car, and my father, you know, if they want to take it to the store or something like that. And my mother comes in, and she goes, you know what I found taped to the back of your car? A fucking tampon. It was red. It was, like, all over the place. And they took the car. Instead of me being the hero of this story, you know what I mean? To my parents, they looked at me like I was evil, and they took the car away for like a month. And I was shocked. I was like, I can't do anything right.
So let me get this straight. So both of your stories related to cars had to do with menstrual cycles. So
yeah.
Was it the first woman that you went down on in your car that you somehow misplaced the tampon and put it on the bumper?
No, it wasn't that one. That was a different one. I thought I was past all this shit.
He was on a roll.
Yeah. I mean, it was unbelievable. You know, I was like, this can't be happening again. It's following me. It was like a horror movie, like when they pour the pig blood on that girl. That's how Carrie. I felt. Yeah, I felt like Carrie. I felt like a young girl that was very confused at the time.
Right.
Show comes on around dinner time, doesn't it?
Right about now, people are preparing their appetizers.
It's the best show ever. People are going to love this. What are you telling fucking kid?
While we're on the subject of women, who do you think is the hottest woman in history?
Wow.
God, that's fucking...
Let me ask you this. I'll give you a couple choices. Marilyn Monroe?
No.
Or Sophia Loren?
I'm going to go with Sophia Loren on that one, but the best, Raquel Welch. I mean, come on.
Yeah, sure.
You think so? Raquel Welch is probably the one.
I'll cash in early on that.
Yeah.
I would eat her ass right now, okay? And she's been dead for how many years, right? Is she dead?
No.
Are you kidding? I could fuck her when she's alive? I'm going to do it. I don't care if she has a diaper on. I want to say I fucked Raquel Welch. That's all I need. I'm out of here. I'll see you guys later. I had no idea she was fucking alive. Are you kidding me?
A man with a goal. Did you ever see on YouTube, there's this really cool video of it's by Jane's Addiction. And the music is set to a Raquel Welch dance number that she did on this TV special in 1971. The song's called We'll Make Great Pets. It's either Perry Farrell or Jane's Addiction.
Yeah, Porno for Pyros is the band.
Porno for Pyros, that's what it is. Do you know the song?
Yeah.
It's a fantastic song. Look it up, and the Raquel Welch video on there is, it actually like, it's choreographed like haphazardly really well, you know? It's very cool to see. And she was an absolute dish, man. That girl, she had it all, man. She had it all.
Everything. Everything was perfect about her. I just want to, right now that I know she's alive, I want to break her good hip. I swear to God. This is like the greatest day ever.
Raquel Welch. All right. Well, let me ask you guys this. In modern days, what hot
woman, Raquel Welch.
What hot woman or what lady, famous woman, whatever you want to call it, actress, model, who that most people would consider hot, who would you say no to? Like, who you know is hot, but even if she wanted to give you everything, you would say no to?
No, there's not even, I wouldn't even do that to a fucking two-legged dog, okay? You fucking look at, what are you talking about? Say no to a hot chick? I'm going to say no. Oh, no, I got blown today by my wife. Sorry, Jennifer Anderson, or whatever the fuck your name is. Holy shit, Doug. Who gives you these fucking questions, a retarded child? My Lord. Doi, 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 doi.
I got this question from Liberace, actually.
I don't know who's doing the rating, but I don't think I could get it up for Rachel Maddow.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think I could do that.
I've seen that dude before.
Oh my God. I definitely could, but that Don Lemon, I definitely can.
One person who's considered hot that I just despise and I would gladly say no to would be Christy Teigen.
I don't even know who that is.
Now, who is that again? Oh, that one. Yeah. She's not hot. That's not fucking hot. Come on, dude.
She was a model and stuff
like that. So what? She's a model because she looks weird, okay? She looks like a goddamn, some kind of fish with Down syndrome. She really does. Look at her. Put up a picture of this fucking broad, Miss Entertainment.
She's actually had some, she had a photo on, it's one of her stories that came out. And I said, are those her cheeks or she's storing food for the winter?
Exactly. There's something wrong with her. There's like, you know what I mean? If she didn't have a hot body, you would say, hey, man, this girl might be special. This might be against the law. I'm telling you. Yeah. Look at it. He'll put up a picture and you'll see. Look, there. He put it up. Look at the picture that he put up. That's what I'm talking about. So now you see what I'm talking about. So shut up. And the girl's not hot. Now pick another one.
All right. Well, that's it. That's the only one I wouldn't. Because like you, I would, you know. I would take it.
I wouldn't say no. I even though she looks a little special, I would be like, hey, man, I would just put on a flannel shirt because they seem to be very calm around flannel shirts, retarded people. But go ahead. Go on.
All right. Well, let's do this. Let's. We got a little time left, so I want to go over our new segment. I shouldn't say new segment. Our segment, The News is a Joke. You guys watch the news.
Hey, absolutely. Absolutely.
So speaking of that, you guys are talking about Florida and Bob's thinking about becoming a Florida resident. South Florida woman rescued from storm drain, rescued underground once again.
Once again?
Yes. This woman has an issue. Her loved ones dropped bags of food and Gatorade in nearby manholes in an effort to sustain her. South Florida woman went missing several weeks before being discovered naked in a storm drain. And oddly enough, with a tampon taped to her back.
And I still would fuck her.
Bob would still bang her. He smells like shit. But,
here's a Gatorade, and I'm going to put my dick through that grate. So,
43-year-old Lindsay Kennedy wandered off and reported missing.
That's an industrial glory hole.
I feel like I'm in the prison cell again next to Mikey.
I think this woman's looking for the Ninja Turtles. You know, like she's obviously got some sort of disorder where she wants to go underground and into the, you know what I mean? I mean,
she's a rat. That whole family was rat.
That's why
they go in the fucking drain. Okay. That's where they go with the other rats down there. Y'all do know anything, Auntie?
It's a thing.
Yeah.
She one of her friends saw her by a Grand Prairie police spotted her Kennedy near a creek. And she slipped into a nearby storm drain when authorities approached her. Can you imagine dating this woman? What's in the news? Yeah, I like swimming in storm drains.
Yeah. She didn't show up. She probably fell in a fucking drain again. Yeah, she's done it about 7 times. Fucking idiot. Yeah, I'm fucking her.
She probably didn't have storm drain dweller in her Craigslist dating profile. That's a little something she likes to spring on the guys after they get to know her.
Yeah, some people say, I like long walks in the park and walks on the beach. No, oh, I like hanging out in storm drains.
You imagine that. She goes on a date and the guy goes, I worked all day. I'm drained. She goes, so am I. Drained, get it? Boom! We'll be right back after the commercial.
I know parking spots can be expensive in New York, but this has got to be the most expensive. It is the most expensive parking lot known to man. Hong Kong parking space sells for $1.3 million.
Really?
The parking spot. Parking space in an affluent Hong Kong neighborhood sold for $1.3 million.
He probably gave him a child or something. They do that there. They pay with children. Yeah, right? I mean, look, I'm just saying I've seen it on Twitter.
Well, the parking
that makes it true. Yeah.
So, I mean, you make up your own minds, okay? I'm just saying where I found it, Twitter.
The parking spot at the luxury Mount Nicholson residence was sold by Wharf Holdings, and Nanfeng Group sold $1.3 million to an unidentified buyer. Yeah, because who would want to be known to spending $1.3 million for a parking spot?
Hey. Jack. I'm Jack Nicholson. How you doing? You want to have a drink with me?
You know, it would be even cooler than that to have a $1.3 million parking space and never use it.
Yeah.
That would just be like, you know. And, you know, and in this world, although, I mean, I don't know how wealthy you cats are, but the people get so wealthy, exponentially wealthy, that a $1.3 million parking space is like a funny thing at the golf club.
Yes.
You paid what for what? 1.3 for a parking space. Oh, come here. Let me get you a bottle of Jameson. We'll sit down.
You tell me you know use the parking spot and you buy it? Why? I don't understand. Why you do that? Why would anyone do that? You bought a parking spot that you have no car, but you buy it. And you're like, I just have to sit there. You sit there. I own you. That's it.
Yeah. There you go. That's probably more accurate.
That is
accurate.
Yes, I paid $1.3 million for the pocket spot, and I have a moped.
I don't have enough for a car now. That's how fucking rich I was.
It'd be great to park like a 67 Toyota Corona sitting out there.
Oh, fuck you all. I just put my big wheel in there. Fuck you. No pocky park.
Yeah, but you put in there like a Mercury Comet. The Summit beat the previous world record, which the parking spot was 969,000, sold at a 79-year-old Hong Kong office tower. Here's the thing: if the parking spot's 1.3 million, what does a parking ticket go for there?
I know.
Wow.
You know what I mean? I mean, shit. Yeah, you parked in my $1.3 million parking spot. Here's your fine.
If you need that to go to where you work, you better be making a ton of money to use that parking spot, right?
I hope that's not that parking spot doesn't like, I hope it's a lifetime spot, you know. It's amazing what things cost.
I'd make it into two spots, you know what I mean? Like a house, I'll make it into a, you know, two, you know, you have to have a smaller car.
You start renting it out on Airbnb.
Yeah.
Here's the story.
And the last one. And his buddy to bust his balls buys the spot next to it and just parks some piece of shit station wagon there. So that's what you look at for $1.2
million. Yeah. And man. I leave my cat inside and look at you and left. Me and my cat go, ha, 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 ha.
Nice.
All right. Bodybuilder who wed two sex dolls is now open to dating humans. Good for him. A Kazakhstani bodybuilder who wed his sex doll after a whirlwind romance, you know, is open to dating a human on one condition. They like his silicon cellmates.
Oh, threesome shit? That ain't bad. You know what I mean? Look, that's not bad. I mean, why is he dating real women now? Did he lose his hearing? I mean, truthfully, why would he want to date real women now? They do talk, and they don't seem to know when to shut up or anything like that. So, I mean, why all of a sudden he's like, I want a woman, like I was warming up? I mean, come on.
Yeah, like you said, he's probably sitting there talking to her like, you know, I would like to have some conversation.
No.
You know, I'm tired of buying batteries.
Yeah.
You know.
And I'm tired of putting a hose in your asshole in the yard to clean you. We're breaking up and I'm getting a real woman.
And my buddy self-washing.
My buddy used to have a joke when these things came out. It's like, if you want a real life sex doll, they're like $15,000. And for an extra $10,000, you know, you get one that talks. My buddy was like, I'd pay $10,000 for it not to talk.
Exactly.
Yeah. But he says, I was in a relationship for the past 7 years, said Yuri Tolochko, which in his word means I'm a douchebag, who's infamously married his sex doll, Margo, in the
movie. Wow.
Yeah.
What a kid. What a kidder.
Yeah.
Kidder. Come on. I'm killing.
Not fired.
Margo killer. Margo killer.
Wasn't she Lois Lane?
Is that Lois Lane? I think so. I believe so. And I jerked off the
house. Yeah, right. Well, she didn't make the top list, though. Yeah. But, you know, how would you feel if you met a woman and she had a male sex doll and she's like, look, this is my husband, but you could be my side piece?
Depends what she looks like.
Yeah, that's what it's all predicated on?
Yeah, then all of a sudden I'm like, well, she's not that crazy. She don't look that crazy. So I'll believe she's not crazy and I'll just not pay attention to that fucking melting thing by the lamp. You know?
Yeah, that's funny.
Would you ever have sex with a doll? Like a real doll, like a sex doll?
Dude, I fucked a Chucky doll, okay? You're really asking me that fucking question? Dude, I mean, what do you think? It's Donahue, like you're gonna fucking shock me? You know, I'm gonna give away secrets that I fuck rubber. You know what I mean? I fucked a car tire in fucking college.
I just say, ask Bob Levy if you ever fucked a doll.
That's like asking
me if I ever ate an Oreo.
God, you should get a show on CNN the way you fucking come up with stuff.
All right, let's move on.
let's move on.
Oh, that's great. What happened here? Fucking story didn't.
God, I would pay for this show. These people watching this, you should pay for this. You should send money to Doug. Really? I mean, Jesus Christ. He's not going to have friends in that live next door to him very much longer, so he's going to need someone to talk to. He's going to bring him to two more shows. They're like, look, dude, we're going to buy your house. Just get the fuck out of here.
That's funny. He's going to have the loneliest yard sale in the history of They're just gonna walk by and point at them.
Anybody want to buy a welcome to the neighborhood sign that they made for me?
He comes home, his grass welcome mat's burning on the front yard.
A sign that says, go home, fatty.
Your wife hates it so much, she put the bag of dog shit on your lawn. fucking lit on fire, dogs out there. We got to get out of here.
My wife's like, I think somebody's at the door.
Dougie, you want to buy pocket spot?
Really cheap. That's awesome. Here's a story. A bride collapsed and died at her wedding. The groom then married the woman's sister.
Nice.
With her dead body lying in the next room.
What?
Well, I guess where the, obviously you guys didn't look at the story yet, but guess where this was out of? What country?
Florida.
Yeah.
Right?
No. A wedding took a morbid turn when the bride collapsed and died during the ceremonial ritual. And the families agreed that the man would marry the woman's younger sister. And he said, oh, that sounds good.
And a pussy to be named later.
And he got a sex doll with it. their nuptials took place with the dead woman's body lying next to the room.
You see what's going to happen to you if you keep talking?
What country was that?
I think it was India. You know, I remember in the days of war, like if the guy went to war and he died, sometimes the brother would take over the family of the right. But this woman, her blood was like, you know what I mean? Like, does anybody object to this wedding? I'm not dead.
We've already paid the caterers.
I would have loved to see the guy bending down, taking the ring off the dead one's finger and putting it on the other one. If anybody has that video, oh my God.
You won't be needing this.
And then they just drag her out a little bit. Put it back
there. That is dark Sharona.
A wedding in India took a morbid turn when the bride collapsed and died just before completing the ceremony.
Wow.
And it's like changing a tire. It's like getting a flat tire on the road.
10 minutes.
And the groom ended up marrying her younger sister on the same day, with the original bride's body just lying in the other room.
Nice younger.
Took place in the village of Samsapur in the northern India state of Uttar Pradesh.
Also known as pass the whore after somebody dies at your wedding.
Yeah, there you go. The first one was too spicy. Let's try this one. They were exchanging traditional flower garlands during a ceremony called the Jamala when the Sabaria collapsed on stage. The doctor rushed to treat her, but later declared that she had died from a heart attack. The day's festivities continued, however, but with a different bride. While Sabashi's body lay in another room in the house, the nuptials carried on with her young sister, hoping that the same didn't happen to her.
Well, he's lucky he found out she had a bad ticker, because it's like buying a fucking shitty car. You know what I mean? You know how bad that feels. You find out later. So he got lucky that day.
Yeah, in India, there's a lemon law.
It seems that way. It fucking seems
what
that
a
way.
Bizarre story, man.
Yeah. I don't know why it is bizarre, but I don't know why it got hard.
And that's the thing. That's the thing that you know, you hear stories like that, and I mean, what a cacophony of confusion that must have been. You know, here's the dead sister, and everybody's dressed up in wedding garbs, and they're trying to find a meaning behind all this shit. And they're like, you know, Naomi, get over here. You know, like, what the?
They're going through the nuptials. Like, do you take this woman to be left through life, death?
Do you take this woman? I mean, that woman.
You take this. I mean, that woman.
You know, and I mean, and it's a life changing thing. Those people don't dodge around over there. I mean, like divorce is like,
you don't do it.
You wait. Yeah.
That's crazy.
And I mean, now let me ask you this though. I mean, how do you feel about that? I mean, is that truly letting divine energy take your path? If you're standing there, your sister dies, you marry the guy that she was going to die. I mean, what the directive of that, like as far as your life goes, was that a blessing? Was that a curse?
Only time will tell, right?
I mean, what do you make of that, man? I mean, what a bizarre twist. And the girl who got married that day was going, well, I'm going to have some flowers and some cake. Now her whole life's turned around.
Maybe she's probably going, maybe I'll meet somebody at the wedding. At my sister's wedding. Right. Yeah, you met the fucking husband.
And she just thought little Punjab was cute. She didn't know she was going to leave with a husband.
And oddly enough, the sister just got done telling her younger sister, like, I'm going to marry him, even though he has a really small penis.
I'm going to marry a guy just like him. And she did 7 minutes later. Yeah.
Wow.
I hope I find a man like you did.
I would admit, look, if one died, I'd look at the sister if she was hotter, and I'd go, do you do anal? You do? Okay, I'll take it. Wrap her up.
Send her to my place.
Put her in the car.
Bathe her and bring her to me. There you go. All right, our last story of the day. Italian artist sells invisible sculpture for £15,000.
That's the best salesman I've ever met in my life.
Yes. You want me to wrap it up? Yes, please. Salvatore Garrulo, a 67-year-old artist from Italy at a time when the art world, likely like everybody else, is going through a very difficult time, has achieved a remarkable feat, which she should be impossible. He sold an invisible sculpture for the sum of £15,000, which is, about $12,000 US.
Sure. Pounds of what?
European dollar.
Bacon.
European pounds of dead Indian brides. Originally, the price was between 6,000 and 9,000 pounds. But when he kept receiving more offers, the price increased and ended up selling for a higher amount.
Yeah, auctions are like that. Jesus.
You know, it's like an art. You know, usually you have a sculpture, you know, you have it like covered with a fucking like a cloth. And then you, voila, you pull it off.
You know, I have a replica of it right here. It's right over here. I already have the replica.
How much did the guy pay for that thing? How much was it?
I paid $8 for my replica.
Oddly enough, it's the same guy who bought the parking space in Japan.
Jeez.
I'm going to put my invisible sculpture in the parking spot.
Don't rope it off.
It's been there the whole time, officer.
The artist explained the vacuum is nothing more than a space fully full of energy. And even, let me see, go back here. Say, has not sold nothing, but okay. He's christened the Sono. Is it an immaterial sculpture, which is so many words, means it does not exist, or that it did exist, then it only exists in the mind of the creator.
Oh, wow.
Yes, if you could see it, it's beautiful. It has.
How much did this guy pay? What did he pay for this?
Like, what did I say? 15,000 pounds?
15,000 pounds, like 12 grand.
12 grand for that. You know, if some asshole gave me 12 grand for something invisible, I would make believe I was helping him carry it to his car. I really would.
Absolutely. It's heavy. Yeah. Can somebody help me with this? It's heavy.
Don't scuff it.
What the hell is this made out of?
So funny.
Yeah, he says, I decided the exhibit is an immaterial sculpture, and given space, that space will concentrate a certain amount of its density. Thoughts? This guy obviously is smoking a lot of weed.
Now, on the other end, though, a more beautiful profile of that imagination part is within the Tao philosophies, there's a thing called the unfinished block, where you can look at a block and imagine everything that could be sculpted out of that block.
Wow.
And it already exists inside of it molecularly, because you can make it that way. So that, for a really nice unfinished block, I'd probably pay up a little bit. But this guy with his bag of wind, you know, that I really believe that was I think it was just cannon fodder for the news. Yeah. You know?
Yeah, I think so. I think it would have been funny if somebody went up there and go, you know, I'd like to get it, but I don't think it'll fit in my house.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll fit on my front porch. That's nuts. Well, anyway, guys, that's all we have time for on the Wake Up Late with Dougie show today.
Hey, man, this was fun. It's been a long time. Thank you. You actually held my feet to the fire and made me put Zoom on my computer. Was the sound okay?
Was it? Yeah,
it was great.
Okay,
it was
great.
Perfect.
Thank you.
This was fun as hell.
Bob, really nice meeting you, brother.
Nice meeting you too,
after
brother.
After all these years, I heard your name. I know where you're at.
Oh, cool. I can't wait to get down there. We'll hang for sure, brother.
Come on, buddy.
I'm coming.
That's one of my favorite things about the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, bringing comics together. They know each other, don't know each other. And we just shoot the shit, talk about
topics. Oh, shit, I thought we were done. I thought I was just going to say, how big's your dick? I thought we were off the air. Jesus Christ.
You can find out if you pay me 15 grand for it.
Is it an invisible picture?
Yes, it's invisible because I've been doing cocaine. And, and it kind of looks like a button right now. But that's all we got for today, guys. Again, I want to thank the Reverend Bob Levy for joining us today.
Thank you.
And, of course, Lou Angel Wolf. And Bob, what's coming up? You want to tell people about anything coming up?
Well, I have a few podcasts. I got Levy Land on syndicateradio.tv. I have the LCK show on syndicateradio.tv, same YouTube. And then Miserable Men, we started again with Julie and everybody. That's on, just search Miserable Men on all the networks, and we're going to change the YouTube thing. We're going on tonight. And it's going to be fun. Life is good. And it feels good to be back in the game, or feeling like I'm in the game.
Yeah. Nice. Luke?
Every Wednesday night at 7:30, I host IMHO.love, which is, in my humble opinion, .love. It's about CE5, human-initiated contact experiences with extraterrestrials. It's about humor. It's about alternative history. My partner on the show is a guy named Mike Merber, who's an attorney and a Princeton graduated historian. Really brilliant guy. And we kind of just, you know, we're pulling all together into the one. This is kind of a, it's a love festival at time. So that's IMHO.love. And I got a new project coming up, which will be, it'll be starting to hit the airwaves around July. It's called Cosmic Surf Shack. That's Cosmic Surf Shack. And that's kind of a, it's a neat concept. Just follow me on Facebook. I just threw some bums off, so there's some new space there. I'm so limited when it comes to my thing. I have people that say, Lou, you need to do this. I go, okay. They go, how much is that? They go, oh, that's how much I thought it was. So they do it.
Nice. Well, you guys are awesome. This is a great show. Thanks for doing it. Listeners, don't forget to find us on our fan page on Facebook. Also, our Twitter handle at Wake Up Dougie, and our Instagram at The Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Follow me at Dougie Dangerous, Instagram at The Funny Fiduciary. Friday, I'm going to be at the Abbeville Opera House opening for Donnie Baker, and then the Newton Performing Arts Center in Newton, North Carolina, opening for Donnie Baker this weekend. Go to DougieAlmeida.com for more dates. And I'm going to take it back to our producer, Chris, in the studio. We have done. This is ready to go, and we're going to sell this show for $15,000. And it comes with a free parking spot.
And a free air wrap.
That's all we have time for, folks. Thanks again for joining us. God bless, and we'll see you next time.
Good night.
Right here at the same spot.
Thanks, everybody.
Wake up!